This is Rachel Otwell for WUIS. I'm speaking with reporter for St. Louis Public Radio, Rachel Lippman. She's been following the events in Ferguson after the shooting death of Michael Brown for the last year since it happened. Protests emerge around the anniversary of that event, where an unarmed black teen was killed by a police officer. Rachel, it's been about 4 days now since the protests began, and we know there have been serious events as well, including the shooting of a young man. Give us a general idea of what exactly is happening in Ferguson right now and what the atmosphere is.
Well, the atmosphere last night was, I wasn't out there myself, so I couldn't tell you kind of the mood, but a lot of people were saying that it would sort of alternate between periods of activity and then a tense calm. On Monday, the St. Louis County executive declared a state of emergency, giving him more control over the county police department. This followed an outbreak of violence on Sunday night that included a second officer-involved shooting where they shot and critically wounded another young black man who had allegedly fired at them. He was a suspect in a gun battle that took place on one of the main corridors. The police chief was very clear to make a distinction between protesters and criminals. He did not draw a connection between the individuals who were out there exercising their First Amendment rights and those who wanted to cause mayhem. But that led to a lot of concern that Monday night was going to be much worse. They declared a state of emergency and put the police out there. And what protesters would argue is a much more aggressive posture. There were 23 arrests overnight and more than 100 arrests during a day of protests that took place on Monday.
And so national leaders in the civil rights movement, like Reverend Al Sharpton, are back in Ferguson a year later. Do you get the sense that once again, people from around the country are gathering there? And what are protesters in general hoping to accomplish?
The message that the protesters are continuing to share is the one that they've been sharing since Michael Brown was shot and killed a year ago. Essentially, the entire system is guilty and we need systemic change. That message hasn't changed a bit. And actually, just before we started talking, I was looking at the list of people who were arrested during the series of protests yesterday. And some of them had out-of-town addresses from Michigan, from rural Missouri, from areas not in the St. Louis area. The message hasn't changed. It was just an opportunity to keep in the eyes of the world the systemic issues that were exposed by Michael Brown's death.
And at the time of this interview, you've just gotten back from a press conference with St. Louis Mayor Slay. What was his message to protesters and Ferguson residents?
Well, keep in mind that there's a distinction between the city of St. Louis, St. Louis County, and even the city of Ferguson. So he is only speaking as one of the top voices in the region. He's got no say over what goes on in Ferguson. Press conference was actually unrelated to anything dealing with Ferguson, but in speaking to reporters afterward, he said that this is a regional problem that is going to need regional solutions and all leaders working together. And that's something that can be difficult in the St. Louis area because it is so incredibly divided. St. Louis County, its government structure can only cover unincorporated areas, and there are 90 small municipalities within the St. Louis County area that county government has absolutely no say or control over.
What have police relations been like this time around? You know, a year ago, they were being called riots. There were buildings that were burned to the ground, and there were shots exchanged with police, including police using rubber bullets, etc. So what are police relations looking like right now?
It depends on who you ask. The police will say that they took a more relaxed posture. The Ferguson police chief made a conscious decision to put his men out there in polo shirts and not their usual uniforms. I heard from a reporter who was out on the scene that one of the St. Louis County commanders was exchanging pig roast recipes with protesters when they went to bring him a roasted pig's head with the name of Darren Wilson, the former Ferguson officer who shot and killed Michael Brown. But then you have incidences last night where the police were in, you know, riot helmets and riot shields and arresting people, pepper spraying them when they wouldn't remain on the street. So it depends a lot on who you ask.
And we know yesterday, on Monday, there were nonviolent protesters, including clergy, who were arrested. Explain to us what that is all about.
There were clergy who were willing to be arrested at a Moral Monday protest at the federal courthouse. They made the conscious decision to climb over barricades that had been set up as part of the protest. It was a planned arrest. This was, as far as I know, them not being snatched off the street willy-nilly for unknown reasons. This was a group that willingly climbed over the barricades and was willing to be arrested.
Why did they say, what was the purpose of that?
Just to continue to shine a light on the problems that we see in the city of St. Louis and in the region surrounding it. It was an effort to ask the federal government to continue to bring the pressure it has and the weight it has to push for reforms to the prison system, push for reforms to the municipal court system, push for reforms to policing. And it was just simply a way to continue to call attention to the issues that are near and dear to them. I will say that they were given plenty of warnings not to climb the barriers. They were allowed to sit for as many as 10 to 20 minutes before they advanced closer towards the doors of the courthouse, and that's when they were arrested.
Overall, what has changed over the past year in Ferguson and the surrounding area there near St. Louis as a result of Michael Brown's death a year ago?
You've seen some legislation looking to reform the municipal government system there. That was probably the biggest piece of legislation to come out of the General Assembly, the session that followed the events in Ferguson. It reduces the amount of money they're able to keep from traffic fines and fees. It requires police departments to meet some minimum standards by 2021. It requires even municipal governments to meet some minimum standards, including balanced budgets, yearly audits, those kind of things. But a lot of the major police reform legislation that protest leaders were pushing, such as requiring body cameras and requiring special prosecutors to investigate police shootings. Most of those pieces of legislation didn't even get a hearing in the Republican-dominated House. And also, I don't think the protesters are naive enough to believe that it was going to be one year that was going to change systemic issues that in some ways we've been dealing with even since the 1960s when Jim Crow laws were overturned and the Civil Rights Act was passed. But I think if you spoke to them, you'd hear that they expected there to be a little bit more systemic change, a little bit more legislation, a little bit more advanced to deal with their concerns.
And any idea, looking at the week ahead, how long protests will continue, a timeline as far as planned events go?
The last planned events were yesterday as part of the Moral Monday protest. It concluded a weekend of what could be called mostly nonviolent protests. Any of the planned activities led by a coalition of groups that have sprung up in the aftermath of Michael Brown's death, those all went off very, very peacefully. It included a concert, volunteering opportunities, a silent march from the site of Michael Brown's killing to a nearby church. In terms of protests on the corridor itself, that West Florissant corridor, I don't know that anyone knows.
That was reporter for St. Louis Public Radio, Rachel Lippman. She's been following the events surrounding the shooting death of Michael Brown for the past year. You can follow her on Twitter to get continuous updates. Her handle is @rlippman. I'm Rachel Otwell.